أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. سورة عبس verses number 33 onwards. فإذا جاءت الصاخة يوم يفر المرء من أخيه وأمه وأبيه وصاحبته وبنيه لكل امرئ منهم يومئذ شأن يغنيه. So when the deafening cry comes, the day when a man will evade his brother, his mother and his father, his spouse and his sons, that day each of them will have a task to keep him preoccupied. After the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in creation of a human being and also in the provision of sustenance for him was mentioned in the surah, now of course the aim for all these is mentioned, and that this is not something which is going to be the whole episode. There is something to come after this, and when that comes, then you would realize that you were going to be kept accountable for whatever you were given. Now, the verse of course talks about the dramatic side of the Day of Judgment here, because it began with the story of an arrogant person or an arrogant group of people who did not want to listen. And then the story of their creation, their provision for sustenance. And now, of course, the dramatic events on the Day of Judgment. فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ السَّاخَّةِ. So when the deafening cry comes, سَاخَّةِ is from سَخَّةَ or أَسَخَّةَ, which means a sound which strikes the ear and deafens. So that's why it's called deafening cry. We know that there is mention of blowing into the trumpet or into the horn in the Quran, nafkh sur, and there are two blowings. In one blowing, every living being would die, and in the other blowing, every living being who was a living being previously would rise and come back to life. Now, the very concept of this blowing into the trumpet means that there is something which is heard in the universe which was unheard before. Something which of course accompanies those big changes, but it all comes with a huge cry, with a sound which here is of course described as a deafening sound, sakha. The first blowing of the trumpet is not as dramatic as the second one, which is mentioned as deafening. I don't remember any case in the Quran mentioning the first blowing to be deafening in this way. The second blowing is described as sakha or zajra. Zajra is a torturing sound, a sound which tortures the soul that hears it, which annoys the ear. And here Sakh has a deafening sound. Now, the exegetes have discussed why this description is given especially for the second blowing of the trumpet, for the second voice or sound which is heard when the dramatic change in the world is going to happen. There is a very beautiful expression in with some of the exegetes, especially with Zamakhshari in Al-Sashar, which says that Sakha of course means a deafening sound, but any sound which is loud enough that you can hear it is also called a Sakha. In effect, Sakha means musna'a, something which makes you hear, which makes all other voices, all other sounds around you to to vanish, and you only hear this one. And this gives a very nice description of this sound and what follows it, and that is that there are things in this world that Allah wants us to hear but we do not hear. Things that all the time are recited and rehearsed in our ears but we cannot hear it. As is mentioned in the Quran, the very verses of the Quran are recited for us, we cannot hear it. لهم أعين لا يبصرون بها ولهم آذان لا يسمعون بها. They have ears by which they cannot see. They have eyes by which they cannot see. They have ears by which they cannot hear. So there are many things that Allah wants to tell us in this world. And He has told us, not only through these verses of the Quran, through the communications, but He has told us through His creation, but we cannot hear it. This crying, this deafening cry would make all of us to hear what He wants to say. And this is when we are transferred from the world of Barzakh to the world of Qiyamah. And it's called deafening sound because you cannot hear anything but this. You can hear His invitation to rise and to go to Him and to see His signs. And therefore it's called Sakha. Not deafening sound in the sense that everyone goes deaf, in the sense that it is so loud that everyone can hear it now. Everyone can understand what Allah is trying to tell us now, what Allah has always been telling us in this world, and we could not hear it. Now this sakha or this zajra, فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاهِرَةٌ. It's just one torturing voice, loud cry, and then all of them are on the face of the earth, hearing what Allah wants to say. And not only our ears could listen on that day, our eyes can see as well. As we could not see in this world, we could not see things that Allah wanted us to see, but we can see it. Then, لَقَدْ كُنْتَ, as we have in Surah Isra, لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِنْ هَذَا فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. You were ignorant of all these, and now we have unveiled, we have removed the veil from before your eyes, and your eyes are very sharp now. You can see things that you couldn't see. You can hear things that you could not hear. So, فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ السَّاخَةُ, when the deafening cry comes, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ, when that deafening cry comes, it would be a day which is accompanied by these type of events. Now, a dramatic description of the day is given here, when this deafening cry comes. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. The day when a man will evade his brother, his mother and his father, his spouse and his sons, that day each of them will have a task to keep him preoccupied. Now remember, at the beginning of the surah, it was there was a rebuke that prophet or the man who is the adversary of these verses, whoever he is, attended people because of their position. Attended to some, paid much more attention to people because of their wealth, because of their position, rather than paying attention to a man who came to be guided, to be reminded. And here it says, these things on that day will go away. Not only you would not care about anyone else who has come to you, for example, to make you, to oblige you that I have come to listen to you and to listen to the recitation of the Quran. Not only you would not care about that, you would not even care about your closest relatives. On that day, a man will evade his brother, runs away, escapes from his brother. And of course, there is a type of elevation here in degrees of closeness. Well, a man would run away, would escape from his brother, not only his brother, but those who are closer than a brother, his parents. Not only his parents, but those who are closer than your parents, your spouse, you would run away from them as well. And from your sons, from your children, who are the most, the dearest ones to you, you would run away from them. Now, what is the reason of this evasion, running away from these people? Of course, the verse which follows tells us that the reason is that everyone is preoccupied, is engaged with their own calamity, with their own difficulties. That day, each of them will have a task to keep him preoccupied. However, the exegetes have tried to find other meanings for this. For these sets of verses, why people should run away from each other, why they should not care for each other, why they should not try to associate with themselves with others rather than individually trying to solve their problems. One reason which is mentioned is that, well, who can claim in this world that they have not wronged their relatives, their dear ones? They have not wronged those who were close to them. All of us have, in one way or another, wronged our parents, wronged our brothers, wronged our spouses. And on that day, when we see them claiming that you did such and such to me, it's not them saying it. Everything appears on the faces. Everything comes out. We see them as clearly as we see the sunshine. So when we see people to whom we are indebted, that we have not discharged, not only we have not discharged our duties towards them, but we have also wronged them, then we try to run away from each other so that they do not claim anything from us. However, this meaning would not go with the verse which is mentioned as a cause for this evasion, which is لَكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. That day each of them will have a task to keep him preoccupied. The other meaning which is mentioned is that these people might come and ask help, and of course when they are so close, so dear, you cannot do anything but meaning, but wishing to help them. But since no one on that day can help anyone else, so you just try to turn away your face, you just try not to have your eyes on their eyes because you feel terrible, they are in pain, you cannot help them, so you try to run away from them. And again, this wouldn't go with the with a verse which is the in effect the cause for this evasion. The best thing which goes with the verse is that sometimes you are so busy, so engaged and preoccupied with a problem, with a difficulty, that anyone which comes and wants to calm you down, to speak to you, to console you, you do not want to listen. You have no feeling to listen. You think that anyone talking to you would just add to your pain. There is no solution for your pain, and anyone coming and talking to you would just repeat words which are have been mentioned several times by others, and you feel bored. People coming and talking to you about your problems all the time, trying to console you. Now, of course, this is a very easy example of this world. In that world, the difficulty of every person, especially when they write, when they want to go to your to their accounts to be judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the difficulty is so hard that you really do not want to see anyone. You are so much preoccupied with what you have, with the problem that you see is coming forth, with the problem that you see is going to encompass you soon, that you really would not like to see anyone, to listen to anyone. And this would go somehow in line with one other explanation of the verse, which says that every person has so many ugly acts on his face or her face that would really feel shy for others to see him in that situation. The problem, the difficulty, the ugliness of the action, the preoccupation of the mind is so much that you would not like anyone to see you. You would not like anyone to come to console you, to talk to you, although no one would be consoling anyone else, because everyone is like you. Everyone is in the same position of being preoccupied with their own task. So on that day, you would not like to socialize. You would not like to talk to anyone. Not only people who are alien to you, people who are not related to you, but even to your brother, even to your parents, your husband, and even to your children, you would not like to talk to them. So, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ, the day when a man will evade his brother, وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ, his mother and his father, وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ, his spouse and his sons, لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. That day, each of them will have a task to keep him preoccupied, so no one will socialize with anyone else. Everyone is engaged and preoccupied with their own problems and troubles. And this brings in some of the traditions which are reported from the Prophet, peace be on him, that it is reported that the Prophet said that people will rise on the Day of Judgment naked, barefooted, not having anything on them, hufatan uratan, not having anything on them, barefooted. And when upon hearing this, a couple of wives of the Prophet asked him that, is this really the case? Even the women would ride not having anything on, and this is a shame if we are we come back to life in this way. And the Prophet told them that the calamity is greater than anyone could even notice the nakedness of others. It is, every person is so preoccupied with their own problems that they cannot even notice that themselves or others are naked, are not having anything on. Now, the hadith is very famous, of course, and we have question in our tradition put to the Prophet by Fatima al-Zahra, peace be on her, which, of course, it was explained to her in a different way. Although it would not deny this explanation, but the Prophet said that for you and the mu'minun in your caliber, of course, there are clothes of light covering the person as something that would somehow make the eyes to turn away from them so that they cannot see, to make you shameful or something like that. But both would have the same meaning. Every person would be would come back to life naked, and the explanation of the Prophet to Fatima to Zahra also would not deny it. Only to her he explained that you will be covered by light. To others he said that no one would notice that because everyone is preoccupied with their own difficulty. And this shows the extent of this preoccupation, that no one would even notice that themselves or others are naked. Now, on such a day, when, of course, people would escape and others evade others, people are then divided into two groups. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُسْفِرَةٌ ضَاحِكَةٌ مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ وَوُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَلَيْهَا غَبَرَةٌ تَرْهَقُهَا قَتَرَةٌ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَفَرَةُ الْفَجَرَةُ. That day, some faces will be bright laughing and joyous. And some faces on that day would be covered with dust, overcast with gloom. It is they who are the faithless, the vicious. Now, the two groups, of course, is a very sharp contrast. Some faces you would see on that day, musfara. Musfar is from asfara sob, when the darkness is removed, is unveiled, and light shows itself. Now, musfara is usually translated as bright, as shiny. However, it gives a deeper meaning when we compare it with the expression asfara sob. It means that there are things in this world which would prevent other people to see the light on the faces of the mu'minun. We have these traditions that whoever continues doing Salatul Layl, light would come on their face. Or there are signs on the faces of people who follow Prophet Muhammad, peace be on him, committedly, in a committed way. سِمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرَ السُّجُودِ, because of the trace of sajda, because of the act of sajda, they have their signs on their faces. Of course, these signs are not visible for everyone. These signs are lights which are somehow covered by the blindness of other people, preventing seeing those lights. On that day, these covers would go away, would be removed, and people can see that light would shine from the faces of some people. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُسْفَرَةٌ. And apparently, the closer the people move on that day towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more they go deeper and deeper into the layers of Qiyamah, this light will become shinier and shinier and shinier. And this is what is, of course, mentioned in a couple of verses of the Qur'an as well. That's يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ. You would see on that day the mu'minun and mu'minat, that not only the light is on their face, it shines around, it would go ahead of them, it would rush ahead of them, it would enlighten the way for them in much farther ahead. يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا أَتْمِمْ لَنَا نُورَنَا. Our Lord, complete this light for us. This is, of course, a very difficult expression to explain. Apparently, this light needs to be completed by a grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. This light needs to come to completion before a person can have that final reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا أَتْمِمْ لَنَا نُورَنَا. So, this veil will be removed from those faces. And these faces will be مُسْفِرَةٌ. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُسْفِرَةٌ. That day some faces will be bright, or will have the removal of the veils because of which people could not see the light on their face. And this is, of course, the light of Iman, the light of faith, the light of committedness. ضَاحِكَةٌ مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ. Laughing and joyous. Of course, laughing and joyousness are in a way description of the state of their hearts, which are happy, and they become happier and happier as they go closer and closer. They see wonders which they would never expected, and that's why they become happier and happier. And mustabshara, istabshar, is the happiness that shows itself on your face, on your skin. Bashara is skin, and that means that it somehow goes beyond the state of heart, shows itself on the face, on the skin, and on every act and move of these people. And on the contrary, وَوُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَلَيْهَا غَبَرَةٌ. And some faces on that day will be covered with dust. Now, this dust, of course, is something which even the shine, the original light that every human being has. Because we are born in a state in which we have some original light, and that is our fitrah. And this original light should be completed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to bring out of this very preliminary, simple type of light to a more complete, to a brighter light. And this is the meaning of Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Because this light is mixed with dhulumat, is mixed with darknesses. Darknesses of human nature, as well as darknesses of this world. And Allah should, through that light, or because of that light, bring us out of all darkness into complete light. Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Walladhina kafaru, and those who disbelieve, أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمُ الطَّاغُوتُ, their guardians, their leaders, their friends are طَاغُوتُ, shayateen. They bring them out of that initial light to utter darkness. يُخْرَجُونَهُمْ مِنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ. And this is when you see that. Now, in this world we cannot see. We cannot see that people are coming out of light to darkness. But on that day you can see. ترهقها عليها غبرة will be covered with dust. ترهقها قترة overcast with gloom. Of course, قترة literally doesn't mean gloom. It means darkness of black smoke. You would see that darkness of black smoke on their faces because, of course, again, it is darkness of the heart which appears on the face, shows itself on the face. In Surah Yunus, we have a more detailed explanation of this darkness which covers the faces of some people. لِلَّذِينَ, verse number 26 in Surah Yunus, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَ, those who are virtuous shall receive the best reward and an enhancement, even more than what they deserve, they will receive it. وَلَا يَرْحَقُ وُجُوهَكُمْ قَتَرٌ وَلَا ذِلَّ, neither dust nor abating. Here, of course, قَتَر is translated as dust. You would see now these changes in translation. Here, غَبَرَ is translated as dust, and قَتَر is translated as gloom. But here, قَتَر is translated as dust. But as I said, literally it means darkness of the black smoke which covers their faces. وَلَا يَرْحَقُ وُجُوهَكُمْ قَتَرٌ, neither darkness of black smoke, so to speak, nor abasement shall overcast their faces. أولئك أصحاب الجنة هم فيها خالدون. والذين كسبوا السيئات, for those who have committed misdeeds, جزاء سيئة بمثلها, the requital of a misdeed shall be its like. وترهقهم ذلة, and they shall be overcast by abasement. So this ذلة, abasement, humiliation, is something which is related to that darkness of the face. Because they were arrogant in this world, that humiliation comes. Darkness of the face will come. مَا لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ الْعَاصِمِ, they shall have no one to protect them from Allah. كَأَنَّمَا, if I want to describe it for you, how can I describe their faces for you on that day? كَأَنَّمَا أُغْشِيَتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ قِطَعًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مُظْلِمًا, they will be as if their faces were covered with dark patches of the night. This is how they will be seen on that day. And this shows the actions, the belief of people would somehow influence the way they are on the Day of Judgment, would influence their faces, their bodies, their form, as we have about Fir'aun, وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, Fir'aun and his followers, هم من المقبوحين on the day of judgment, they are from the ugly ones. And this ugliness is of course something which is created by the action. Now, for these people, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَفَرَةُ الْفَجَرَةُ, it is they who are the faithless, the vicious. Kufr is something related to the heart. Kufr is disbelief, is ungratitude, or whatever we translated, that is related to the heart. Fujur, which is mischief, is related to action. So they had two things together. They were kafara and they were fajara. They were kafir and they were fajir. They were disbelievers and they were mischievous ones. Those who were vicious, did vicious action. These two together would make them to be like that. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَفَرَةُ الْفَجَرَةُ. Now, there is a nice theological discussion here that I just mentioned very briefly. At-Tusi, Rahmatullah alayhi, al-Shaykh al-Tusi, in his At-Tabyan, Tafsir al-Tabyan, which is one of the most beautiful tafasir, early tafasir of Shia scholars, he says that here people are divided only in two categories, either believers or disbelievers. Disbelievers who are vicious as well. And it doesn't say anything about the believers who are vicious or disbelievers who are not vicious. It doesn't say anything about it. And then he says, the Khawarij has used this verse to say that, yes, this is what we say. There is no position between a mu'min who doesn't sin and a sinner. Sinner is kafir. A sinner is a kafir, and therefore this is the strongest proof for that, that people are only two categories. Either they are mu'minun, and they are mustara, zahikatun mustabshara, or they are sinners or disbelievers. They are put in one category. And this is of course according to what Khawarij believe, that any mu'min who sins would become a kafir. Even any kabira committed by a mu'min would make them to be a kafir. At-Tusi says, of course, this verse would give no support for such an idea, because you know, the Shi'is believe that we have a mu'min who doesn't sin. We mean kaba'ir, of course, big sin. A mu'min who does kaba'ir, which is fasiq, who does big sin and is a fasiq, a sinner, and of course disbelievers. And we do not regard a fasiq to be a kafir. We do not regard a sinner to be a disbeliever. Now, Tusi says that, well, of course, their status is not mentioned here. They might be somewhere in between. Their faces might not be as dark, as pitch black as is mentioned here. And they might not be, of course, shiny on the day of judgment. Here, what is mentioned as the extreme side of it is al-kafaratul fajara, someone who disbelieves and is vicious. It doesn't talk about someone who believes and is vicious. And of course, someone who believes and is vicious would not be from among those whose faces would be musfarah, zahikatul mustabshara, would be something in between. And of course, Fakhruddin al-Razi has brought other groups of theologians like Murji'ah in here to discuss their views, which is of course not very important now that we know that certainly we should differentiate between a kafir, a mu'min who is committed, and a mu'min who is not committed. And a mu'min who is not committed is certainly somewhere in between kufr and iman, somewhere between these two, and of course they might take the big punishment for a while. They might have to tolerate and undergo, endure a hard time before they are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the end of the day, it is not clear what is their position, whether they will go to hell, whether they will be forgiven and go to paradise. And therefore, they are not on a firm basis. as opposed to, of course, those who are completely committed to their faith, and those whose destiny is very firmly known, and this is kafaratul fajara, those who are faithless and vicious. So, the day some faces will be bright, laughing and joyous, and some faces on that day will be covered with dust, overcast with gloom, or with the blackness of darkness of black smoke. It is they who are the faithless, the vicious. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi.
Allahumma
salli ala
Muhammad.
Thank you, Archbishop. And there are many questions, because this is referring to the Day of Judgment. Brothers and sisters,
can I just go through some of the descriptions you've given and help me understand a little bit better? The kind of people who will be raised, one situation you said where they'll be so preoccupied, they won't notice each other at all. And in another description, they will run away from each other, which means they have to notice each other. You won't run away from someone unless you see them coming towards you or you go towards them. And the third, the last week, you were mentioning a very good description where people who have done some good, not a sabiqun, but people will be raised with some good news immediately. So they won't have this concerns, preoccupation, this really worry, because they know inshallah everything will be smooth. Now how do these fit with each other?
Well, they do not notice their nakedness, but they do not notice each other. They notice each other. They are there. However, they cannot put any part of their mind to talk to these people. They cannot engage themselves in any sort of discussion or communication. And because they are bored, they do not want to listen to them, because their calamity, their problem, their predicament is so huge. So they will run away from each other. This is the meaning of the word, as it says, لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. So they notice each other, they are there, but they do not notice. It's just like when you are preoccupied with something very strongly, and then you go around and you do not notice many things around you. With regards to those people who receive the good news, of course, these are not the people who are going to realize it. This is about ordinary people. There are people, first of all, we know that prophets, A'im alayhi salam, saints, they would really not be in such a state. They are joyous with the grace and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which gives them right from the beginning. And then there are angels who support them all the time. So the verse should be an explanation of those people who really have a predicament on that. Not everyone. And that is something which gives really hope. But the point is, even those who do not have that predicament, they would not notice the nakedness of others, because they are so much preoccupied with the joys and with the grace that Allah gives them, that they really would not notice anything like that around them.
In a way, my question is also been answered with you, so thank you. Any sisters? Yeah?
Thank you very much indeed for your lecture. Sheikh, we spoke about the description of the day, and we spoke about the description of the people and their light. It's very clear that there is a task on that day. We can explore what that task might be.
Now, sha'an, which is translated as task, Sha'an is amrun azim, a big predicament, something like that, a big engagement. So it's not a task in the way we use it in this world, that a duty or something like that. However, even if we use it as task, it's a task which should be completed by itself, not something that we have to do anything for it. As we are told, when we die, then the whole door of action is closed to us. We cannot do anything. We have no other duty to discharge. But there are things which come on our way and would be completed by themselves. In this way we can call it a task. Otherwise it means a predicament.
Yes, sir.
It was part of analogy and question actually. It is in the Surah Al-Ma'arij, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, يَوَدُّ الْمُجْرِمُ لَوْ يَفْتَدِي مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمِئِذٍ بِبَنِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَأَخِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ الَّتِي تَأْوِيهِ وَمِنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ يُنْجِيهِ. Which is the backward of this verse. And here it says, يَوْمَ يَفْرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ بَنِيهِ يَوْمَ يَفْرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ بكل امرئ منهم يومئذٍ شأن يغنيه. It seems it's a question of responsibility and reward. In this one, and يَوْمَ يَفْرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ, it starts backwards. The furthest one to you is your brother. And the most responsible one to you is your son. Because you'll be questioned about your son. You'll be questioned about your wife. Because they are your responsibility. But you don't get questioned by your actions of your dad or your mother or your brother.
Mm.
Because they're not, and the other way around, in Surah Al-Ma'arij, it's the other way around. You ask help from the closest to you, and the first one you ask for help is your son.
Mm.
So that, it seems they compare to each other. The word I wanted to know is when they say, بكل امرئ منهم, who is he talking about these minhum? Are these the believers, the non-believers, or everyone on that?
No, everyone has a sha'an, has something which is so big for them. It's either a predicament or something with which they are engaged so much, a grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which would not, but here Sha'nun Yubni is mainly talking about those who are in that predicament. There are some people who are not in that predicament, but those who are in that predicament, they have their own affair with which they are so much preoccupied that they cannot turn to others. Therefore, this verse should not be taken as a very, very general description of whoever goes on the Day of Judgment. There are some people who are, of course, exempt from all these. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُمْ مِنَّ الْحُسْنَى أُولَٰئِكَ أَنْهَا مُبَعَدُونَ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ حَسِيسَهَا وَهُمْ فِي مَشْتَهَتْ أَنْفُسُهُمْ خَالِدُونَ. So those upon whom we have said nice words, they will be far away from these things.
There is one word which brings this explanation of faster to the meaning of everyone, being very, very simple to understand, is when you go to a court and everybody sitting in the court, everybody talking to each other, once the judge hits the hammer, everybody becomes quiet.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the same meaning. From that moment onward, the floor is not yours. Whoever is holding the hammer, the floor is this. And it sort of brings the meaning of what it is. And that moment onward, nothing, silence. The court is not yours anymore.
Yeah,
thank you. Yeah, thank you for the analogy, sisters. Muhammad Hassan? Just a quick question. I don't know if it's a question or just a comment. That after Allah mentioned the phrases of right, love, and joy, it doesn't actually describe the group into who they are. When they mention the faces that God does, they say to like, you know, they are faces. Is there some kind of explanation or discussion on that?
We would know by contrast that they are not kafaratul shajara. They are those who, both in their faith and in their action, have been good. By contrast, we would know it. Yeah.
Thank you. Any sisters? Comment?
My question is regarding the second blow of the trumpet, and sorry, the first one, everyone died, and also about burial, right? What's the purpose of burying the body as we do, in relation to, for example, if the trumpet is blown and everyone dies? Obviously, in that case, there would be no burial. Perhaps you'll say that we're raised to life with the same body, but then what about those whose body has been completely decapitated or whatever, and
it's completely separate. Well, the purpose of burial is that if we do not bury each other, the world will be somehow full of decomposed bodies, and it's both disrespect for the deceased and also an annoyance for those who live afterwards. It's very, of course, natural. We either have to bury or cremate or do something with the corpse. And now the burial is mentioned because this is probably a respect for the body of a mu'min, for the body of a human being, not to be cremated. And also in many, many different stories and the riwayat, we have that bodies of mu'minun, those pure mu'minun, would be left intact. They would not decompose, they would not decay. And this is something which is seen in many instances of those bodies who were somehow their grains were broken, or their bodies were exposed to others. There might be one reason that the bodies are respected, because among the mu'minun there are many bodies who remain intact, and these are the bodies by which they would raise. Of course, they would change quality. However, with regards to others who decompose and would decay and completely are scattered around the world, because then when your body decomposes, it goes into different material of the earth, it grows as plant, it is eaten by other animals, it is eaten by other people. So we don't say that it is those bodies which are buried exactly which raise. The example that the Quran gives is like the growth of a plant, that a seed, something like a seed will remain of everybody, which grows again. In a way, now of course we can understand it better by this example of cloning, which can give the complete qualities of a previous body to a new body. This is how it might go, as Quran gives the example, like the plant that grows, like the rain that falls and the earth which comes alive again. This is the example given. However, this is has nothing to do with the burial issue. That's something different. So those people who are burnt, for example, completely to ashes, or who are drowned and eaten by fish or something like that, their bodies of course will be created from a cell which is remained from.
Thank you. Any other last question then?